Welcome, everybody. Today's January 2nd, 2017. Can you believe it? Oh, my gosh. I just can't even get my head around this. What an exciting, exciting year this is going to be. I can't tell you how many people I received words from the Lord from already this year or in ending last year and that have just been so spot on, and they're all saying the same thing about we need to be intentional and that God has got amazing, amazing things planned for this year and to just release everything from the past and move forward. So let's enter into the presence of the Lord real quick, and then we will do our study together. Father God, thank you so much for another amazing day. Lord, we just praise you and thank you that you've given us not only a new day, but we've got a new month and we've got a new year. Lord, we thank you that this is a new season that we're in. And Lord, we commit our hearts to serving you new, in new ways, deeper ways, fresher ways. And Father God, I pray that you would be with us as we study your word this morning and as we prepare for this next year and as we live it out, Father God. You know, for those that haven't got their planning completed, Lord, I just pray a blessing upon them that they would get that done quickly, because we know that you are a God of order. And you've already started. It's already January. You've already set things in motion and you're just waiting. You're waiting to bless us, Lord. You're waiting to get things moving according to your plan. So, Father God, we ask that you would just have every word that's spoken today be honoring and blessing to you. Lord, I pray that you would give me supernatural recall of your word, that it would touch the hearts of each person that's hearing my voice, Father God. And Lord, I thank you for the revelation that you've given me as I've studied and prepared for today's lesson, Lord, because we know you do have a blueprint for our future. We love you and thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about God's blueprint for your future. I receive a prophecy that comes in my email, and I love this woman. I've never met her in person, but I followed her for years and years, and I just love how the Lord speaks to her because she's always right on time with where I am in my life. So hopefully this will speak to you as well. I just wanted to open up with this word that she received from the Lord, and her name's Marcia Burns. It says, "You've come through unprecedented changes in the past few years." And I know for those of you that I can see on the dashboard that are with us live, you'd say amen to that, except I've got you muted. But we've gone through unprecedented changes in the past few years. Do not mourn what you perceive as loss, but rather enter into an uncluttered and more honest existence. I'm preparing you for a reward in the days ahead that you will have, that you would have lost without making the necessary changes. I want you to really think about that, because we're going to be studying today from Habakkuk, and I'll explain a little bit more about his story. But I want you to think about how this applies to your life. Sometimes we think that we've lost things or that the Lord has removed things. Sometimes he's asked us to release things. I know that was the focus of my entire fall season. My autumn season this year was on releasing. And it was just releasing one thing after another. But now I understand why. Because we don't want to hang on to those as if they're losses. Kind of like Lot's wife. Like, she wanted to turn back around and look at Sodom and Gomorrah one last time because she felt as if it was a loss. Don't do that, because I don't want you to get stuck like that pillar of salt that she turned into. She goes on, Marcia goes on to say, "It's a time to rediscover the truth of my word and to resolutely walk in the path that I have set before you. The rule of that path is light. Walk in the light and refuse to walk in any darkness at all." He's saying at all. There's no tolerance for anything that's not purity and of the word. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." She goes on to say, "Position yourself in a way that will allow you to receive my perspective and wisdom in every situation and circumstance. Let me lead you in the way of righteousness, peace, and joy. Be sensitive to the conviction that comes when you deviate from the path that I've set you on, and be ready to punish disobedience by being obedient to my leading." So God's calling us to a new level of obedience. He says, "I have a plan and a purpose for your life, which will require complete submission to my word. I'm releasing a new wave of creativity for those who possess a sensitivity to nuance. Some of you have put away your gifting because you didn't deem it to be worthy or worthwhile. Now's the time to pick it back up again and use your creativity as a form of worship instead of a form of personal satisfaction. Many of you have sown selfless seeds of blessings into the lives of others. This will be a time when you begin to reap the harvest of those seeds sown. Old ceilings will become new floors for those of you who have been diligent to do what I've given you to do. You can now move up as you establish yourself on the revelation of my purposes for your life, says the Lord. And isn't that where we're at right now? Is we want to make sure that we are in alignment as we enter into a new year according to the purposes that God has for our life. We know that what he tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 is that he knows the plans for us. It's of a hope and a future and not of harm, right? Jeremiah 1:5 says that he knew and he approved of you before you were even in your mother's womb. We're going to study the story of Habakkuk today. And we're going to be talking about what is God's blueprint for the vision of your future. Habakkuk actually means to embrace. And he was a prophet in Judah, and he was really frustrated with what was happening in his life. He felt like he was in a place like God was not even paying attention. And I don't know if you've ever felt that before, but I know I certainly have. And what Habakkuk means is to embrace. So even with his name, the Lord wanted him to know that, you know what, I'm embracing you. I've got you on this. But Habakkuk was frustrated with God as to why God seemed to be far too tolerant about things. He looked all around and he saw evil doings. He felt like he wasn't getting his fair share. He was trying to do the right thing. And the harder he tried to do the right thing, it seemed as if God wasn't paying any attention. And then he struggled with why God would use a country, Babylon in particular, that was more wicked than Judah to correct them. And he finally, at the end of the book, he learned to trust God after asking God, do you really know what you're doing here? I mean, how many times, and you may not want to say this out loud, but you may have been questioning in your own heart or your mind, saying, God, do you see this? Do you get this? Do you see what my wife's doing? Do you see what my husband's doing? You don't seem to be paying attention. Do you really know what's going on here? And we know in our heart of hearts he does, but it just doesn't always appear that way, right? And then what Habakkuk needed to do is he had to learn to trust the Lord in order to lead. There were some secrets that he learned. So his leadership secrets that he had to learn in order to be able to really step into what God had for him was he learned that he had to feed the people. He had to give them something. So think about your team. Think about the people that are around you in your inner circle. Think about your business. Think about your family. Are you feeding them? Are they getting the nutrients that they need to flourish? Next, you need to lead the people. It's not just enough to put a buffet in front of them, but they need to be led. And then the most important component is you need to intercede for the people. So you need to feed the people, lead the people, and intercede for the people. He had to realize that he had to not just be a leader that was a doer, which is so easy for us as leaders, right? We just want to do. But he had to realize that he needed to pray. He needed to get in that position that we talked about a minute or two ago, where we really were at that place where we said, you know what, we're going to walk in 100% light. God tells us if we do that in Isaiah, he tells us that he will tell us to go to the right or to the left. We won't even have to worry because we're going to be so in tune with what he has for us that the slightest nuance when we get off the path, we're going to feel it instantly. We're going to come back into that position of light. And the way that we do that is by being 100% obedient to those gentle promptings of God. He learned that he had to wait on the Lord before he acted on his word. Isn't that hard sometimes? Oh my goodness, as a leader, and especially, you know, I've got a D personality and I want to do. I want to just go and make things happen. But what I've learned over a decade ago, and God reinforces every single day in my life, that I need to wait on him. I need to pray, make sure I'm completely prayed up. And then I can hear that slight, soft prompting of what way he wants me to go in every single situation. But not only did Habakkuk learn that he needed to wait on the Lord before he acted on his word, he learned that he had to acknowledge his limitations and seek wise counsel from God. Sometimes we just think that we can just keep blowing and going, don't we? And especially this time of year, it's so easy to just get ahead of God and say, this is what, you know, I'm going to do, and just start moving out. But sometimes we have to realize, you know what, there's only so much of us. Unfortunately, we get into that space where we see it affecting our health, affecting our relationships, affecting the productivity with our work, our creativity. And God wants to bless you and give you more of that right now, more creativity, more productivity. But he says, you know what? I want you to realize that it's not you. It's me working in and through you to do super abundantly, more than you could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. Habakkuk also learned that he needed to ask detailed questions of the Lord and expect an answer without being ashamed or intimidated to wrestle with God for the answer. I mean, it's pretty bold to say, God, do you know what you're doing here? When it's already a big mess. To say, God, are you even paying attention? Hello? That's pretty bold. But he said, you know what? Somebody's got to come and get right with God and figure this out, because we're really in a mess. And I'm going to have it be me. That was the call on his life. He learned to be disciplined to listen to the voice of God, because you know what? God didn't answer him right away. He kept going back to God and saying, are you paying attention? Are you listening? Do you see this? Do you see how wicked they are? Are you paying attention? Like you said and you promised, but it's not happening. Maybe that's how you felt in 2016 was, you know what, God, you promised this, and it seemed like I was doing everything right, but you didn't fulfill your promise. So let me ask you, what question are you asking of the Lord? What detailed questions are you asking of the Lord and expecting an answer for? And are you willing to wrestle it out with God? Are you willing to stay in your prayer time until you get your answer? I can be honest with you and tell you that sometimes I get the answer instantly. I just know. And sometimes I've battled for days. And when I mean days, I'm not saying like I prayed for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour. I'm talking 10 hours on my face before the Lord, on my bedroom floor, crying out before the Lord. I'm talking about all night long weeping before the Lord. I'm talking about 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours. I've gone for entire weekends where we didn't leave the presence of the Lord. We fasted and we prayed. Because it was that important to me to get the answer from the Lord. I'm going to encourage you to set a timer the next time you pray. It's not necessarily about the time, but I think you'll be shocked at the real time that you spend in prayer before the Lord. Because what he's saying now is he's saying, you know what, I want to give you a word. And I want to give you what you need to have that blueprint for your future and your vision, but you've got to be willing to stay there with me, and you've got to be willing to not only feed and lead, but you've got to be willing to intercede. Habakkuk also learned to be disciplined to listen to the voice of God and therefore develop an intimate relationship with him. How well do you know the Lord? How intimate are you with him? Can you feel his embrace? Do you know when you've started to get a tippy toe outside of where he really wants you? What does your relationship really look like? Then he also learned to rejoice in every single circumstance because he knew who was in charge of all things. At the end, the third chapter of Habakkuk is, to me, it's almost comical. You read like, well, Lord, like, did you see this? Oh, but that's okay because I know you're in charge. Did you see that? Well, this is a mess, but it's okay because I know that you've got this. And Habakkuk learned to rejoice in every single circumstance because he knew he was in charge of all things, even if he didn't understand what was happening. He learned to truly trust. Now, one of the things that I love to do each year is I pray to the Lord and I ask for my word. And this year the Lord gave it to me. I think it was back in October or November. I was really shocked because normally I get it like in between Christmas and New Year's. But if you haven't done this, I'm going to encourage you to ask the Lord, what's your word for the year, the thing that's going to be your driver for the year. And then also I want to know, what are you asking of the Lord? I want you to post it, and I want you to post it inside of Leaders Empowered. I've got a Facebook page called Leaders Empowered, and you'll see my picture there. Go to that page and post what your word is for the year and what you're asking of the Lord. Now, let's talk about what God's blueprint for building your bridge for the vision for your future looks like. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it'll be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place, and it will not be delayed. What he's saying is that it's going to show up right on time. And how many times have you seen that God shows up right maybe in that midnight hour, a minute or two before midnight, boom, that he supplies the need? I don't know what you're waiting for, what's happening in your life or your business, but I know that I can stand on this promise in Habakkuk 2. So let's break this down, because your vision should be written down, according to verse 2. It should be distributed to people, verse 2. Thus, the reason why I wanted you to post it to the Facebook page, Leaders Empowered. It needs to be acted upon, according to verse 2. Verse 3 wants to make sure that your vision is for understanding that it's for a select time in the future. When do you want this to take place? And it's motivating us towards the goal, according to verse 3. It should not be discarded or released. So basically not saying, well, you know, I don't really see it happening. So, you know, I think maybe I missed God, or maybe I didn't hear it correctly. No, stand on that. Hang on to it. Press in. Press through to the other side. Don't discard it. And believe that it will not fail, according to verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 through 6 says, you're sons of light and daughters of day. We live under wide open skies and know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life like others do. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. Right? So keep your eyes open, watching for it to be fulfilled, but you've got to know what your word is from the Lord. So what is your word for the year? It can drive you to champion your potential to make a difference and fulfill the call in your life for 2017. Now, I like using these theme kind of words each year to help me stay focused on achieving my goal, but I ask the Lord, what is the word for me? And you can ask the Lord the same thing. I've even had a word or words like for our entire team, for our office staff, or for the entire business, and I've had words individually. And it's so that we can move forward together, achieving great things. Now, your word can be your driver. It can drive you to plan, to schedule, to make the right decisions, to take actions, to get results. It can kind of be a compass to help you through this next year. Some theme words that I love, and that I'm seeing, and I posted on Facebook the other night. It was New Year's Eve, I believe, and we had, I don't know, 130 or more responses to what people's words were for the year. The number one came in as focused, then disciplined, transformation, hope, happy, growth, consistency, believe, purpose, overcome, progress, intentional, freedom, bravery, strength, action, choice, love, forward, relevant, abide, abundant, accountable, achieve. There's so many different ones. I loved reading through them, but I want to give you a few of my favorites. Focus, it's about concentrating and paying attention to the most important actions. Most of all, not getting distracted by bright, shiny objects and making sure that you're working your plan. Some people have chosen explosive. That's a power word. That means you're ready to take action. You're looking for dramatic growth. Changes are happening with action. Abundant, it's about prosperity thinking and letting go of scarcity thinking. Abundance means that you know that there's enough to go around and you're bringing in the revenue you want, plus there's a surplus. Stellar means you're ready to be a star and stand out and dazzle in front of everyone this year. Increase, you're ready to grow and expand. This word can be a great reminder in all areas of our lives, businesses, and influence. Consistency, it's a great word to inspire you to create a solid schedule and some good habits and routines. It helps you be organized and plan which are the most important tasks for you. And we know that being organized and planning, those are the keys to success. Growth is one of those words that will help you expand and increase and take action in your business. It's a word driven by action. With this word, you're going to be ready to step up and step out to thrive in 2017. Bravery is about being courageous in all of your endeavors. It's about stretching your comfort zone and challenging yourself to go beyond, feeling the fear and doing it anyways. You Make Me Brave is one of my favorite songs by Bethel. I love that. I'm going to encourage you to look that up on YouTube if you don't have that already in your playlist. Soar. Those words remind me to rise high and lift above the clouds. It reminds me of Isaiah 41, to reach for the top and to go for it and to really soar and let God be your strength to soar like an eagle. What about strategic or systemized? My word last year was strategic that God had given me. It's one of my favorites because I'm a systems person, and this word will show you that you're ready to be purposely productive and organized and maximizing every part of your business and life. Unstoppable means that you're on fire and you're going to succeed in achieving everything that God has put before you. Maybe it's dream big. Maybe you want more than one word, right? Dream big are two words that are going to propel you to reach major things in your business this year. What's going to be your word that's going to drive your success in 2017? My word this year is flourish. My verse this year is Habakkuk 1:5. Look at the nations and watch. Be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in you that you would not believe even if you were told. I know that that's what God has for me. To flourish means to grow luxuriantly, to thrive. I love to wait on the Lord for the word, and when he gives me the word, then look up the definitions. Look how it's used. Look at verses that would have a significant meaning that goes along with it, because it anchors it into my spirit man. It anchors it for me. And it means to grow luxuriantly, to thrive, to make bold, sweeping gestures, flowering from the stem. It's dramatic and fancy way of doing things, to grow and to do well and to enjoy success. Jeremiah 29, verses 6 and 7 says, so that you'll thrive in that country and not waste away. Make yourself at home there and work for the country's welfare. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things are going to go well for you. So don't fear what's happening in our country right now. If we help our country to flourish, we will flourish. And if God's called you to maybe to soar or to be brave or unstoppable, see how that's going to work in the surroundings where you're at. Because when we're faithful where we're planted, God expands our territory, doesn't he? So don't fear what's happening with the new elected officials and whatnot. That doesn't even matter, because we know God's in charge of all of it. Just like Habakkuk said that, you know, he was shocked that God was going to use Babylon, even many times later, that he was going to use Babylon to correct the situation within Judah. He can do the same here for us. I want you to live into the word that God's given you for 2017. You know, I know that we all have dreams in our hearts and a vision for the future. So step into the blueprint of what God's given you. Go back to Habakkuk 2. Look at verse 2 and 3. That's where you're going to find what your blueprint is. Remember, I shared that with you. And then I want you to commit to it, okay? Because next week we're going to be studying part 2, which is the commitment factor. This is the second half of the blueprint for your future, so we're going to be looking at that. But the blueprint for your future is make sure it's written down. Know what God's word is for you. Make sure it's written down. Distribute it to people. Act upon it. Realize that it's for a select time in the future. Ask God when. That it's motivating us towards our goal, so we've got to continue to work towards that vision. Don't discard it, and believe with everything that we've got that it's not going to fail, that it's going to come to fruition, and it will do so this year. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You know, Father God, we know that you've placed a dream inside of our hearts. I want you to open it up to us, that we can understand it, that we can run with it. Give us a vision. Give us direction and an intentional heart. Strengthen our hands as we actively fulfill your call in our life. Lord, right now I put on the mind of Christ and I receive your supernatural wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Father, you say in Ecclesiastes 5:3 that a dream comes through a multitude of business. And I receive that now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And we receive it for each and every person listening to my voice. We know that you've placed a dream in our spirits, and that this is a blueprint of what you desire for us to do through your strength and direction to advance your kingdom on earth. Lord, we dedicate our lives fresh to the fulfillment of the dream that you have inside of us, and we promise to take action on that now. Lord, continue to make our path straight. Open our eyes so that we can see your leading and direction, and set into motion your divine appointments and lives that we will touch. Lord, I thank you for the favor that we're receiving from those that we talk to and we touch. Lord, I ask that you would speak through us to help us walk in your strength and in your joy. Lord, I pray specifically that you will help sales to continue, that you will release this creativity in Gloriella's life. Lord, we ask that sales would continue, that provision would be made. And Lord, we thank you that this is the season that they will get their vehicle, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Gloriella's heart and the way that she serves. Lord, the way that she loves you so much, and that she is your hands and your feet. Lord, I thank you for those amazing warm brownies last night, Lord. What a special treat that was. Lord, that you care enough to interconnect our lives, that the smallest things, the smallest needs, the smallest desires are fulfilled and met. And thank you, Lord, that Gloriella's heart was willing to serve. Lord, my heart is so humbled by being able to be served in that capacity, Lord. And I thank you that Gloriella was so willing to listen and to obey. Lord, help us to have that immediate obedience, that complete obedience that we were talking about earlier today. Lord, I pray for healing for Desi and for John, with the sinus infection is gone in Jesus' name, that the sinuses are completely cleared, the throat is back to normal and restored, that all inflammation and dis-ease is gone in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Desi's speaking engagement tomorrow, Lord, that you would give her peace and confidence. Lord, I pray that as she heals today, that it will be one of those miraculous healings, Lord, that it would be something that instantly she's better. The pain is gone. The inflammation is gone. The sinus drainage and the excess mucus is gone. Infection is gone. In Jesus' name, we take authority right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we continue to seek you for a job for her daughter, Lord, but more than a job, we are asking that her needs would be met, that your supernatural divine wisdom, your divine power would come into action now, and that you would provide for every need. Give them the assurance that they know that you've got this. Just like Habakkuk didn't understand circumstances, he knew that you were providing, that he could trust you, that you were in charge, and that it would work out, even if it was in that midnight hour. They would stand strong and in faith with you, knowing that you've got their back. Father, we love you and we thank you. We pray a blessing upon each person's life and business this year, their circle of influence this year as they move forward into 2017. Lord, I pray that you will keep us healthy. Lord, that you would release finances from the north, the south, the east, the west, in unexpected places, that our bodies would just be renewed and refreshed, that health would be abounding, Lord, that finances, that creativity, that anything that was perceived as lost would be gone and shed, and that we would embrace the new that you have for us, Lord, because we know that you're not only releasing a new wave of creativity, but you're releasing a new wave in all areas of our life right now. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your nuances. Help us to be sensitive to your voice. And give us the discipline that we need to develop the relationship with you that is so sweet, that is so close. We love you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll be back next week. We're going to be talking about commitment in the second half of God's Blueprint for Your Future. Take care. I love you guys. I'll be with you next week. Oh, and don't forget to post on the Facebook page, what's your word, and if you've got a verse there, and how what question you're asking God and expecting an answer for. I love you guys. Bye now.